the choir announcing two further pieces, Be Still and Priceless Treasure. Priceless Treasure is sung to tune of Abandon, followed by a Bible reading by Kevin Thomas.
Of the Lord, the Holy One is He. Come now before Him now, with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We
the toss
in bello, shall sweetly whisper, peace be still. Are in thy peace, my ghost I follow, and daily strive to do. Amid the din and strife around me, my soul hath rest in sweet repose. For Jesus, Lily of the Valley, more fair to me than Sharon's rose, brings peace. Gift from my Savior, friend divine.
Well, the reading this afternoon is taken from Luke chapter 12, and commencing with verse 13. Being a man, I find two things difficult to do at once. I do my best. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." But God will bless the public reading of this. Amen.
You have a chance to sing once more, as I will come to Miss George Blackwood, plays a medley of pieces. Follow by the choir singing two more pieces, "What a Wonderful Friend" and "The Wonderful Grace of Jesus." Following this, Fred Bradley will testify how the Lord changed his life completely. Thank you.
Forgive us your
Jesus, be kind to redeem me. Born in Swansea, and for the first 66 years of my life, I was an enemy of God because I didn't believe. That's the way the Bible describes people who don't believe. And that's the way that I was. I knew there was a man named Jesus, but I didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And I certainly didn't believe there was a God. Even though as a child and a young man, at times of great stress and trial, I would turn to God in prayer and ask for his help. But that faith I showed then was just crisis faith. It wasn't proper faith. It wasn't saving faith. that all those people who were born again Christians have gone through. I didn't come from a religious family, we were very, very poor. My father and my mother were divorced in the 40s when it was unheard of. And my mother was treated very, very shabbily by society because she had the nerve to divorce my father. I've got an older sister and a younger brother, and we were very, very poor. And whenever Dr. Bernardo's went on their trips, we used to get invited to go along with them as well because we were on the extremely poor list. Anyway, as life went by, at the age of 17, I left Swansea and I joined the Royal Air Force. And I was in the Air Force for 13 years. And they were very happy years. I met my wife there, an Irish girl. She was a Roman Catholic girl. That didn't bother me. I wasn't a believer. We got married and had 5 children. And we were married for 39 years when I lost her. Not to the Lord, not to the devil, but to another man. I was brokenhearted. I had a heart attack, and a few years later, I had to go into hospital for open heart surgery. And while I was in hospital, the Lord came to my rescue, although I didn't know it was our dear Father in heaven. I would have a gag in my mouth, so I wouldn't be able to speak. Now, a gag, in case any of you are not sure, is something they put in your mouth to keep your mouth open. So if they have to go down your mouth in an emergency, you're not going to be biting on them. You can't bite. You can't speak. So I was in the recovery room when all of a sudden I vomited. And I started choking on my own vomit. And I couldn't shout. I couldn't move my arms, my legs. I couldn't turn my head. And I couldn't see anybody. They were busy with somebody else. But I didn't panic. And I don't know why I didn't panic, but I didn't panic. I just kept looking around for people. Then all of a sudden, I felt total peace. I can only describe it to you as I didn't have a care in the world, even though I was in a dire situation. I didn't have a care in the world. And I felt this warmth. And I felt as though there was somebody else there with me. And then suddenly, out of the ether, a voice came and said, "Tap your finger. Tap your finger." And on one of my fingers, I had the machine that they measure oxygen in your blood and the pulse. And my hand was dangling down on the stretcher in which I was lying on, against the leg. So I started tapping the leg of the stretcher. And they heard it. And they came to see what was wrong. And immediately they could see all this vomit coming out of my mouth. And they put in the vacuolizer suction apparatus, and they sucked it all out. Anyway, the operation was a perfect success. But once I was discharged from hospital, I wondered what it was that made me feel like that in the hospital. Was it some of the drugs that I was on for the anaesthetic? What was it? Anyway, I was none the wiser, and I was discharged out of hospital, and I was making a good recovery. About 3 months later, I went along to my grandchildren's baptism in St. Michael's Anglican Church in Carmarthen. 2 babies, and they were brought up to the font. And when the water was sprinkled on their forehead, I suddenly had that same wonderful at-peace feeling that I had in the recovery room at Morriston Hospital Theatre Suite. I still wasn't a believer in them. I didn't believe in it. But there was something happening to me. And after the children were baptized, I went home and started thinking about what could it possibly be. At one point in my thinking, I thought, I wonder if it's something spiritual. I wonder if there is a God. I wonder if he's trying to tell me something. I wonder if I should start going to church. But I'd never gone to church. I'd gone to the Catholic church when my children were christened. Other than that, I'd never been inside a church. So I didn't know where to go. And I used to go to cardiac classes after the surgery. And there was one man in the cardiac class who was always telling jokes. And he always used to end the joke with all of us laughing. I heard that in church or something. And I was thinking to myself, I'll ask him, where are you, Eric? Where are you? Stand up, Eric. Stand up. This is the man. He also had been in hospital, and he had new valves in his heart. Okay, sit down. he's not very well. So I spoke to Eric, and I said, Eric, you go to church? Yes, he said. Why do you want to know? I said, you're not a Jehovah's Witness, are you? No, he said, I'm not Jehovah's Witness. Because I knew about Jehovah's Witnesses because I'd been a medic. So I knew that, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses was something I didn't want to be. So I asked him where he went, and he told me he went to Long Last Gospel Mission in Stewie. I had no idea really what sort of church it was. And I said to him, you know, I think I'll start going to church just for a while to see what it's like. And he said, well, come to mine. So the following Sunday, he told everybody in the church that I might be coming. And when I arrived, didn't they give me a welcome? Everybody was smiling. And it was contagious. You know, I felt wonderful. And Eric plays the guitar in the church band right on the front. So they brought me right to the front of the church so I could sit near him. Anyway, the thing was, as the service went through, I had this wonderful feeling of peace and happiness again. So when I, after the church service, and I went home, I decided I was going to go next Sunday. Well, I went next Sunday, and it was even better. And I went the following Sunday, and it was even better. I really enjoyed it. And I was feeling so different and so happy. You know, it's as though I'd put it. But I still wasn't a believer yet. But I was beginning to hear the gospel story. And then, for the fourth time that I went to church, every fourth Sunday they used to have communion. And there was something inside me saying, go on, Fred, have communion. But I didn't know where I'd be allowed, because I wasn't a believer then. I approached one of the elders, and I asked him whether I should take communion. And he explained to me what communion was. And it was for people that loved Jesus. Well, even though I wasn't a believer, I had this love of Jesus. But I didn't understand really why. I had communion, and I had this wonderful feeling of peace and tranquility again. One of the pastors that worked, I shouldn't say worked, one of the pastors, the retired pastor at Long Last Hospital, Pastor Brian Alexander, said to me one day, Fred, do you mind if I come to your house to get to know you better? No, not at all, I said. And he and his wife, Jean, came to my house one day the following week. I remember the date, it was the 21st of July, 2008. And he came to my house, and he led me to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
21st of July, and that's the day I was saved. And I changed completely. My family, my five children, all thought I'd gone mad. One of the tasks I was given on the day that I was saved was to tell other people about it. But by the next day, I told five people. And everybody had responded well, including one person who retorted back to me, I'm so pleased to hear that. Will you do something for me? I said, certainly. He said, will you pray for my wife? Because she's not well. And I was so naive, I didn't know whether I was going to be allowed to pray for somebody else. So I had to contact Pastor Webber, I think it was, I rang him up and explained to him, or it might have been Brian Alexander, and I said, of course he's a Quaker. And I did, and we became good friends, and he was led to the Lord, not by me, but by Pastor Brian Alexander. Now myself, the fire was burning inside of me, and I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. Whenever the church was open, whenever Long Last was open, I was there, including a ladies' meeting, which I got thrown out because I didn't realize it was a ladies' meeting. You know, I used to be at home when Jehovah's Witnesses used to come round, and I wasn't a believer, but I used to admire them because they would come knocking on doors, telling you all about whatever they were going to tell you about. And I was always very polite to them. I was never nasty, and I used to thank them for coming. But to get rid of them, I used to say, oh, we're a Roman Catholic family, and they used to go. But I did admire them for their guts. Never in a million years did I dream that I would be going around knocking on doors, telling people about Jesus with Pastor Webber and a handful of other people from the church. Never in a million years did I dream that I would be on the streets of North Wales with Marilyn Hyde, the evangelist, preaching on street corners, under the clock tower in Bangor, complete strangers walking around with microphones and tannoys and megaphones, telling everybody about Jesus. I never dreamed that I'd be doing that. But that is the change that was wrought on me by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I learnt that Jesus Christ died for me. I learnt that we are all sinners saved by grace. And there might be people amongst you that are not sinners saved by grace, but you might be sinners unsaved. And believe me, the future is not bright for you if you are like that. You know, all these men come from different churches. They all believe in the very same Jesus Christ. We all worship and praise and thank God for the Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing it is.
Yeah. Amen.
That all our worries, all our fears can now be put on our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We don't have to worry anymore. We don't have to worry about anything. And for those of us that are going to be called home, what a joy it's going to be.
Amen.
When we see the Lord Jesus Christ standing there, ready to welcome us into heaven. So Jesus died for each and every one of us. God's message of salvation through the Son, Jesus Christ, goes out to everybody in the world.
Amen.
And the message of the crucifixion, of what happened on that cross at Calvary, is the most important thing any living person will ever hear.
Mm.
And what they do with that information is going to affect
where they spend eternity.
So everybody,
amen.
Thank you for listening to me. I didn't believe in Jesus. I didn't go seeking Jesus. For some reason, he sought me.
Amen.
And he changed me.
Amen.
And he loved me. Despite all the bad things I've ever done in my life, he loves me. He gave his life for me. And he gave his life for every single one of you. Every one of you, whether you believe or not, he gave his life for you. Whether you develop a relationship with him is up to you. But please, please, don't make a mistake.
Amen.
Of pushing him away.
Mm.
Amen.
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 Oh, yeah. Oh. Oops.
Thank you, Fred, for that. Thank you, Fred, for that.
Monsieur.
Right, it's a chance for you to say once more. You can sing Goethe's Love Passed Out of the Ocean, but you can sing the first verse in English, Demagogue, Velamora, Foster.
Lovely to be here today. The reading was from Luke 12, verse 13 through 21, I think. Here we have a parable. Now you will know that a parable is an earthly story, but a spiritual meaning. And Jesus was an expert. He was a master at taking everyday events and bringing home spiritual truth. We must remember, parables portray facts. Otherwise, they misrepresent. And here we have this little parable. A certain man had a bumper crop. He'd never seen such a crop. He didn't know what to do. But then he thought within himself, I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. And I will say to my soul, so you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, sit back, drink, be merry. But that night, the Lord appeared to him in a vision and said, you fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. Verse 20. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? When God calls a man a fool, that man is a fool. I was once a fool. I thought I was clever, but I was a fool. I want us very quickly to consider five reasons why God called this man a fool. First of all, because there was no gratitude within his heart. He'd been given a bumper crop. He'd never seen such a crop. He didn't know what to do. What shall I do? And then he thought, I know. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. No gratitude. No thanksgiving. No thought of God whatsoever. But before we rush to condemn the man, what of ourselves? God has given us life. The very air we breathe, the very life we possess, the measure of health and strength that we have. It's God given. Do we thank Him? Have we ever thanked Him? What are the prayers that He's answered? What are the needs that He's met? I trust that we have shown our gratitude. This man was a fool because there was no gratitude in his heart. The second reason why God called this man a fool was because he took life for granted. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Many years. What right did he have to say that he had many years before him? Or even to think that? The Bible tells us, boast of thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the morrow shall bring forth. We don't know, do we? We don't know. I testified the other morning, a young man of 21. God just brought me to the end of myself. One moment enjoying health, strength, the next on my back in Morrison Hospital. I touched high voltage cables carrying 32,000 volts. and they didn't expect me to live. But God, in His mercy, raised me up. Friends, we cannot take life for granted. We cannot, because we don't know. A third reason why God called this man a fool was because he thought pleasure was the highlight of life. Pleasure. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, be merry. We are living today in the Western world in a pleasure-loving society. Think of the millions of pounds that are being paid to give people pleasure. And yet, there are parts of the world where there's little food, little water, people starve, and yet we enjoy pleasure. Pleasure is the highlight of life. Men look upon pleasure. They look upon the world and they ask themselves, what can this world give me? Not what I can give the world, but what can the world give to me? And I confess, myself, there was a time when I lived for pleasure. Nothing else mattered. I just lived for pleasure. The man was a fool. And as I have said, when God calls a man a fool, that man is a fool. The fourth reason why God called this man a fool was because he believed that death was the end. Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die. We die. Many, many people today believe that death is the end. There's nothing beyond the grave. When we die, we simply cease to exist. Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's it. But is it? Is death the end? No. Certainly not. For the child of God, death means entrance into a higher, more nobler form of life with the Lord. You will remember, you will know, when God made man, he made man from the dust of the earth. But man was a lifeless form until God breathed into him the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When the child of God leaves this scene of time, the body is buried in the earth, but the soul is eternal. And the soul wings its way into the presence of God.
Yeah, amen.
The Apostle Paul could say, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
And many of us, I'm sure, have lost loved ones. Brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, children. Where are they? They're with the Lord. And I can assure you today that they're far, far better off than what we are. And if they were given the opportunity of returning to this scene of time, they wouldn't want to come. They are with Christ. They've seen the Lamb that was slain. They are with him. That's wonderful to know, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah.
It's wonderful to know that. As a minister, I've buried many people. But burying children of God, there's always blessing.
Yeah.
Always blessing.
Yeah,
But what of the man, or the woman, who does not know God? When they die, they're buried in the earth. Yes. But what of the soul? Yes, it leaves the body. But it goes out into a lost eternity. Lost forever. For eternity. The Bible speaks of two destinies that await mankind. There's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. And my dear friends, when you think of all the false religions in the world today, and the false cults that are springing up, they all deny the existence of hell. Hmm. They do. But there is a hell. And to be lost, one cannot describe the experience. God has done everything in his power to save perishing humanity. He has given his own son, not an angel or a cherubim, but his own son, to die on that cross. It was the Lord who died on that cross. The Creator dying for the creature. Can you understand that? I can't. I have taken many funerals over the years, over 50 odd years in the ministry, and I've buried many people. And I think I said this. There have been occasions, standing in the graveyard, standing in an open grave, after the service, strong men have come back to me as people have begun to disperse. They've come back. And they said to me, "Mr. Lewis, this is the end. There's nothing beyond the grave. This is it." And they walked away with a smirk upon their faces and a laugh. But years later, some of those same men, paramilitary men, they sent for me in the sick chamber, and some in the death chamber. They've sent and they've asked for prayer. For prayer. Pray for us. Pray for me. We all know, dear friends, deep down, there's an instinctive knowledge that death is not the end. We know. It's there. And I can assure you that death is not the end. This man believed that it was. The fifth reason why God called this man a fool was because he had made no preparation for death and what followed death. No preparation. The Lord said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Everything has to be left behind, doesn't it? Everything. Thou fool. No preparation for death. None. Is there preparation for death? Yes. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's not good works that will get us to heaven. It's not religion that will get us to heaven. It's not going to church that will get us to heaven. There's only one way. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Calvary is the greatest revelation of love that this world has ever seen, or ever will see. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me ask you, dear friend, and I ask myself, do we believe in him?
Amen.
Do we believe in him? I can remember the night I got saved. As a young man of 19 years of age, an outcast in every respect of the world, no time for God whatsoever. But a young lady explained the gospel to me, and for the first time I understood. And with the eye of faith, I saw Calvary. I didn't believe that anyone loved me. I'd experienced little love in my life. And to hear that Christ loved me, and that he had suffered and died for me, it broke me down. And as a young man of 19 years of age, I haven't wept for years, but I wept. And I can remember my prayer on the banks of the tower, on my knees. I prayed, Lord, if you can forgive me my sin, if you can forgive me, will you come into my heart? Will you come into my life? I've made a mess of my life. Will you come in? I want to be saved. I couldn't explain it then. I can't even explain it now. But I felt a great burden being lifted from me. And I knew that I was saved. You see, the Bible tells us that God, the Father, laid upon him, Jesus, on the cross, the iniquities of us all. All our sins on him were laid. I knew that God would save me. And from that day to this, I've never questioned my salvation. I have the assurance of eternal life. I trust, dear friends, that we all have that assurance. I trust before we leave this building this day, we may have the assurance that all is well with our souls. It's so easy. The children's chorus puts it so clearly. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And he does. He does. He's a loving God, gracious, merciful in all his ways. Thank God for what we've heard, the old hymns of Zion. Thank God for the truth of his precious word. We can be redeemed. This man was a fool because there was no gratitude in his heart. He took life for granted. He thought he was going to live forever. Man, what a mistake. He believed pleasure was the very essence of life. He believed that. But my, what a mistake. What a mistake. He hadn't prepared for death and what followed death. Thou fool. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. I trust, friends, that we know where we stand in relation to God. If not, it's not too late. It's not too late. Thank you.
you, Eric, for that very inspiring message. I'm sure it makes us all think of our relationship with God, of deepening our relationship with Him. Choir is going to never sing a piece, which is very appropriate. There's a sound in the trees, and the gathering breeze sends a message for those who will hear. That the Savior of men will return once again, and the day of His coming draws near.
In the trees and the gathering breeze
to say on your behalf how grateful we've been in this one we kneel and voice praise. And we thank God for them. We thank God for what they've sung to them. Just one or two quick little notices. Afterwards, there's a cup of tea or coffee to my right. It's there. But there is a time limit. Alright? We have to be out of the building by 5:30. Alright? And there's no discussion on that. It's definite. Have to be out of the building by 5:30 for the staff to have a break and so on. Brewery opens at 6:30. Please note that, alright? I don't want to be chasing people at 25 past 5. If I have to, I can do. Alright? So please bear that in mind and honor that. And then if you can't come back tonight, 7:30, the choir will be taking singing two or further pieces as part of the evening service. Lord bless you, each one. Thank you, Father, for what we've heard. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for the time that they've given, not just this afternoon, but in preparation for this. We thank God for them. We pray and bless every single man and that's involved in this, and those behind the scene as well, and the lady who bring the piano. Thank you, Father, for our being here. We pray and bless us now as we sing here the final song, and then as we gather again. And we pray that Sam might be able to come back later on. Bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Please be seated.
Right.